world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to This Week. I'm Ann Carrick. Vincent Caprio's in the studio with me, and we have Rich Kolakoff on the phone, and also Larry Mann, who was on earlier, and he's still hanging out with us to add his commentary. So, Rich, we cut you off because we needed to take a quick break there, so I'm going to let you finish. You know, and as you go to answer the question...
From Larry, yeah.
From Larry, I also was going to throw in there, you mentioned how... FDR and what was done during the Depression. And I know that when Obama was elected, you know, he had done a lot of studying about what was done during the Depression and what FDR did. And I thought it was sort of interesting because while it's good to look at the past and history, I felt like, well, this isn't really exactly the same situation. I mean, our financial situation is dire and desperate, but I'm not sure that what was done during the Depression would work in today's environment. So you can think about that.
35% unemployment in the Depression.
Well, the reason why I'm thinking about that, it was not so much FDR, and he knew that, I mean, we all know it was a different situation, but he was using the game plan. In other words, he knew that Obama, he knew that he had a certain amount of time to get his agenda through, and he did. I mean, he took too much time away from the ball on the unemployment. And to be frank with you, I'm not sure what more he could have done. I mean, it is one of those things. I mean, recessions, they work themselves out historically. But this is more than a recession.
Yeah, this is not a typical recession.
With Vince all the time. I mean, recently, there are 11.5 million jobs that we have to get back, and that ain't happening. I mean, that's not going to happen. But I wanted to get back in terms of... The Depression versus the recession, people really did feel it. I mean, it affected what they ate during the day.
Hey, Rich, you've heard the expression, you know, recession is when
somebody else's job made right.
But I'll tell you one thing. Feeling it's a depression.
There you go again.
Here we go again.
There you go again.
Am I going to have to put somebody on hold?
Well, there you go again.
There you go again. This is my telephone, right?
It is my microphone.
Really, really. One of the things that it's just an anecdotal, Lawrence. I live in the state of Oregon. Okay, now Oregon has historically had high unemployment, even during good times. I drive around some of the malls, some of the upscale malls. It's loaded. I mean, you can't find a parking spot. I don't understand that. There's just such a disconnection that I think people see versus what was going on in the Depression. Yes, you had to get up, you had to go and get your unemployment if that's what they had in those days. But you also had to go to the bread line. You know, people sold apples.
So you had to stand in line for food too.
Right, in line for food. But you know what? Oregon has the state of Oregon has this food program for those who need it, and that is growing as much. You know, that is really growing. But then again, I drive and I see these, you know, Audis and these and Subarus and whatever, and they're in these parking lots. I mean, who goes to Toys R Us on a Wednesday when I'm driving? I still don't understand that. But
well, I guess if you're not working, you have time to shop.
Well,
I don't know.
What you need to understand is that there is, you know, this concentration of wealth in the country, and,
right.
And there is a percentage of the country that's still doing extremely well.
Yes,
right.
Extremely well.
That's
right.
True.
But the problem is that, you know, the vast majority are not.
Right.
I don't know if any of you saw the story about something that was going on. I believe it's in Atlanta. I know it's in Georgia. It was a program that they tried, and it's been extremely successful. They took people who were on unemployment and matched them up with employers who could use another employee but couldn't really afford to hire them, and
right.
They created these six-month internships. So the person who was on unemployment basically went and worked at this company, and they received their unemployment, but they did, and so the company got a free worker for 6 months. The
right.
Person got 6 months of training at some job that they hadn't done before while they were still collecting their unemployment. And the rate of people who got hired at the end of that 6 months was something like 90% had a job in within 90 days.
Wasn't there a huge tax break on that, too, if they hired somebody? As,
yes.
There may have been, but I thought,
yeah.
what a great idea. Instead of sitting at home collecting unemployment,
right.
Which can be depressing by itself, you know, get them out there, learn a new skill. The company gets some extra help. They get to see whether they really like that person after they've learned it. if they, you know, they've learned the job, if they need him and they're still going to hire somebody, who do you think they're going to go to? The person already knows the job.
So, you gave President Obama a B. You're moderately happy with President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be happy with Speaker of the House Boehner?
Well, I think that was a baited question.
Do I put my political hat on, or do I put my patriot hat on this one?
How about your personal opinion?
What's that?
I said, just what do you think? It doesn't have to.
What I think?
No
I
hat.
Think I feel sorry for Boehner. Believe it or not, despite his orange color, I mean, there are people, there are factions that are going to be in that House that are going to fight him tooth and nail. And as being and being the Speaker, you have to have accommodation with the President of the United States. I mean, I don't care what party you belong to. Even Newt Gingrich, after 96 and the shutdown, he and Clinton used to meet very, very often, and they did, as Lawrence would say, they did get some really central kind of legislation out the door. But keep in mind, Bill Clinton passed a balanced budget before the Republicans came in. Yes, the Republicans came in 94, but the budget didn't kick in until 95, which was already passed before the Republicans came into office. I mean, the fiscal year goes from, I think, October to September, the September to October, whatever it is. It's not January to January. So, yeah, he did go to the center, but I think he was, he still had a legislative, agenda and so forth. He's doing a lot of campaigning.
So President,
line.
President Obama, when he declared his candidacy in February of 07, was an anti-war candidate. And every day he would say, if I was a senator like Hillary Clinton, I would have voted against the war, and she voted for the war. And he used that as a 2x4 every day.
Right.
And in January of 08, it was Clinton 53 to Obama 23, 30-point lead. So he was an anti-war candidate. Are you happy with the directions of the two wars, since you're happy with the president?
Okay.
Can I just say, I don't think anybody's happy with any wars.
Right. The direction of the wars.
The directions, I know.
I think defense contractors are happy with the wars.
Well, the other thing,
too, we're talking about the budget, right? And I'll just answer your question, Vince.
Yes.
He's eliminating the war in Iraq. And I really do feel that he already put a date on the troops starting to come back home from Afghanistan. Well, he kept to his word in Iraq, and I think there were 50,000 troops left. I mean, but in terms of American control of the country, it's way down there. You can't, That's the thing about people who are ideologues on the left, for example. They want them out of we want them out of there right now. You can't do it like that. It takes 6 months even to move all the equipment in the personnel. But I want to get back to the to Obama. Bill Clinton says this on the campaign trail now. He says there's always a gap between when you start fixing things and when people feel fixed. And I think that's the way history will look at Obama in his first 2 years. You're talking about the debt. Remember, somebody had said, I forget which one of you people said this, that the debt went, the overall debt, not the deficit, but the overall debt had gone up five times. Now remember, what is now placed onto the debt and also on the budget every year is the cost of the war. That was always off books under George Bush for 8 years.
True.
And also the Department of Defense, the United States is the number one spender on defense. Number two in the world. If you took the rest of the world, they wouldn't even come close to us.
Larry sent me that short, and I sent it to you, Rich.
Yes,
so
he did. Oh, yeah, that's
that came from Larry. Yeah,
50% of the world defense budget is the United States.
So Lawrence, let me just say this about Obama. Wait and see. I mean, I think that Gates is going to start cutting out very small, though, because, very short in terms of some of the money that's being spent. I mean, we have airplanes and jets that, you know, we're going to fight the Soviets. Well, the Soviets aren't around. He's now transforming, hopefully it'll happen, but he's transforming the Department of Defense to fight wars, but not so much wars as a major war or I think we were set up for three wars. We could fight three wars at one time with 1.2 million. And don't forget, people don't even hear or feel that as well. There's no draft. There's only like, what was it saying? Was 1% the American people are participating in fighting these two wars?
It's terrible. I mean, we weren't taxed.
We weren't taxed, and we got a tax cut. Right.
The only people suffering are the people fighting it. Let me make one prediction.
Sure.
And my prediction is that Obama will look back on his time in the presidency and say he will, within the own recesses of his mind, say, you know, it's great I got here, but I got here before I was ready. I mean, there's no question.
I agree with that.
He's a very smart man.
Yeah.
And his tragedy in life is that he got to be president before he was ready.
And also at a certain time. I mean, this mess that was left to him. I don't want to go out there and blame Bush at all, because that's old hat now. But
well, there's no denying that it was a mess when he took over.
Bernanke and Geithner. I think when he came in here the first year, he just wanted to reach bottom so that he could start climbing out of this mess.
I'd argue with something different. I'd argue that it was that, and this is where the inexperience and why he'll regret having gotten it so soon. He didn't have the judgment to pick the right people to surround him, and he took the people that were the Democratic Party kind of put forward. And these were all guys that were, you know, Clinton retreads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that had he had more experience and trusted his own judgment more, he would have picked people that wouldn't
still
have
early
followed the same policy.
It's still early. I mean, I would say that he was on the job training. I think he was, and I think you're right. He'll say, because he does reflect very well. He's an intelligent guy. He reads newspapers.
Clearly.
Huh?
Clearly an intelligent man.
Yes, and I would say that, yes, I would agree with you. But I think that he's smart enough now, and I think he's going to take advantage of this midterm change. I really do. I do believe it. I think outweighed his usage.
Don't ever forget, after Gingrich and the Republicans took Congress,
right,
after 40 years, you know, 1994,
right,
Time magazine had a cover with Clinton. It was about an inch big, and it said, incredible shrinking presidency.
Right.
And all the pundits said, there's no way he's going to get reelected.
Mm.
And then the Republican Party nominated old Bob Dole, and the rest is history, a landslide.
Well, I was going to ask you a similar thing. We only have about a minute left, but it's two parts. One, if we think Obama maybe wasn't ready, is there somebody else with 2020 hindsight you think would have been better suited for the issues that they had to deal with? And two, what do you think about him being reelected? We have 60 seconds, so
I'll start.
The birthday girl might have done a good job. She's doing a great job as Secretary of State. But I think the fact that he chose her tells me something, that he does have solid judgment. He's not 100%, but he does have judgment.
Go ahead, Larry. No, I'm next.
Yeah, I would just say, faced with the same decision of voting for Obama versus voting for McCain, I'd make the same decision I made.
No, I meant of any of the candidates, not just the two who actually ran.
Well,
but Vincent, what do you think?
Well, no, if I could pick anyone, not a candidate,
okay,
President Clinton, but the 25th Amendment.
Oh, the one who, the President Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
You're breaking.